All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Rebunked. My name is Scott, coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee, and I got a very exciting episode for you all tonight. I've got so much awesome stuff coming your way, so just strap in, buckle in, and let's do this thing. So I want to tell you how you guys can follow and support the show just real quick. What I would suggest doing is right off the gate, go to rebunked.substack.com, and the Substack is basically my email list. You sign up for free, you get on the list, and then whenever I make a post, it goes right to your inbox. You can know anytime I'm about to go live or any updates or announcements or anything related to the show. So that's rebunked.substack.com. Additionally, there is an option to do like a $5 a month subscription if you feel so inclined, if you like, but totally not necessary. I really just want you to encourage you to get on the list for free, and that way you can stay up to date with the show. I do have the t-shirt shop is cranking. And that's rebunked.news/shirts. You can also go to the main rebunked.news website, and you can find links to the t-shirt shop there right at the top, along with the other affiliates, including Richard Groves Autonomy, TRS Heavy Metal Detox at truthtrs.com, and then the Give Send Go. If you guys feel like you got any value out of the show, you can always do a donation there on the Give Send Go. But back to the t-shirt shop. We got all kinds of designs. We got the famous Beavis, Are You Threatening Me? Gadsden flag shirt. My favorites. I got so many favorites on here. I can't pick one, but Censorship Kills. It looks like all my favorites have gone back to the archive. Let's see here. We got the Climate Change is Hot shirt, right? So you can just piss off everybody with that one. The ladies waiting in the back are going to get a kick. So Fauci gave us all AIDS. He gave the whole world AIDS, right? Like in the 80s, and then he gave the world AIDS again. Vaccine acquired immune deficiency syndrome twice in one career. He gave the entire world AIDS. So Fauci gave us all AIDS. Yeah, horrible, I know, but whatever. I got this one. Got any new conspiracy theories? All my old ones came true, right? So anyway, you guys, so rebunked.news/shirts. I got a whole bunch. Where's the other one that I really like? Okay, this one here. I've been wearing this one a lot lately. Compliance is violence, right? When you comply, that leads to, the government taking more power than they should. And like perfect example is in Lahaina, Maui. You know, you guys all know Unjected Shelby. She lives in Maui. Her mom only escaped Lahaina by disobeying the police that were blocking the exits. And so when you comply, you die. You know what I mean? Oh, I think I got a shirt in here that says that too. When you comply, you die. You know what I'm saying? Like, do not comply. Whatever's coming. I don't know what's coming, you guys. I don't know what they're going to try and pull next. Where did that one go? Oh, it's right there. Yeah. When you comply, you die. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what's coming next, but the point is like, just do not comply. That's how we do it. You know what I mean? And that's how we're going to get out of this. I have a couple of really cool announcements, you guys. So this is a project that I have been working on behind the scenes for about 6 months with the great Sir Deanonymous. Those of you that are No Agenda fans, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's the creator of bingit.io. Oh, I spelled my own show wrong. Check this out. So if you guys go to rebunked.podcacks, spelled podcax.com, we have generated an entire search engine for my show. Now, what you can do here is you can type in any word or phrase, and it will search through all of the episodes, and it will tell you exactly where I have mentioned that word. So if you type in vaccine right here, these are all the shows. I mean, I mentioned it probably almost every show, but like, for example, it says in this particular episode mentioned 3 times. You can click go to episode. There you go. Go to episode. You can click on a timestamp and it'll take you right to the spot in the show where I said it. Bam. I know you probably can't hear that because I didn't share my audio, but basically this is a research tool, you guys. So you can, if you ever had that instance where you're like, dang it, what was that episode where you were talking about this or that, whatever the topic is? Well, now you can type that word in and you can go right to the spot and just click on it and watch the video. Now, what we're working on right now is the ability to then, let's say I like this particular segment of the show, I can click a button and export the video ready for an Instagram reel with captions, like the ability to do custom captions and everything. So this is going to be a powerful tool that's really going to change the podcast game. So right now the reason my show is a test pilot, I just had a meeting with Richard Grove yesterday and the autonomy team, and We're really trying to get them onboarded with this. So yeah, it's a really powerful tool that's available for my show right now. And hopefully we're going to be able to roll it out to lots of other shows here in the future. And then the last thing I want to show you guys is those of you that were watching the Unjected show last week, you saw that when we were going down the rabbit hole live on the show, we came across this the Anti-Vaccination League, which is founded and started in 1866, which is originally the Anti-Compulsory Vaccination League. And they've gone through several iterations since. And for our research, we determined that they kind of went defunct in 1972. So there was no trace of them after 1972 when they stopped putting out their publication. And so Shelby and I were like, well, we're bringing it back. So over this last week, we have reestablished the Anti-Vaccination League. We have created the website, as you can see here, antivaxleague.com. We've created an Instagram page, which just in like less than a week since Friday, we've already got almost 1,100 followers. So people are on fire for this project. Okay. We're just going through the archives, finding all kinds of amazing stuff. And we've got all kinds of really cool plans and ideas for this. You know, we want it to be a directory, a resource, as much information as we can gather and aggregate into one centralized place for you. So please come antivaxleague.com. It's pretty much just a landing page. Just want to encourage you to sign up so you can get updates as we kind of build this out. And then just give us a follow and tell your friends. So, all right, guys, thank you so much. A little bit longer intro than normal. I know, but I just have so many exciting things to announce. So thank you all so much. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my two guests tonight. So on behalf of Children's Health Defense and this upcoming event that is going on here in Tennessee, from the Tennessee chapter of the Children's Health Defense, I'm going to introduce Bernadette Pager and Dr. Denise Sibley. What's going on, ladies? How are we doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having us on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is really exciting stuff. So I believe Dr. Sibley, I saw you at the event last year, right? You were one of the speakers there. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that's where I first heard your story. And then Bernadette, you were obviously at the event last year as well. So Children's Health Defense, the Tennessee chapter. We were just talking before the show about how ever since I moved to Tennessee, I've just been so impressed with how ahead of the curve Tennessee seems to be on so many different topics. And I know there's room for improvement, but it's just like compared to, you know, coming from the West Coast, from Oregon, it's just like just a breath of fresh air to be involved in a community where that actually kind of takes, from what I could tell, like our civil liberties like a little more seriously than they do out in the West Coast and whatnot. But yeah, it's really awesome. So before we get too far into it here, we're going to talk about this event and all kinds of fun stuff. Maybe let's do a little bit of both of your backgrounds and just kind of let us know what you guys have been up to. And I think we'll start with you, Dr. Sibley.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me today. My name is Dr. Denise Sibley. I'm a general internal medicine physician in Johnson City, Tennessee. I've been here for 35 years. So I've been practicing medicine since 1989. And the last 4 years have been consumed really with COVID, the illness, vaccine injuries, all of the things that come from the injections, the long COVID, long vax. And so I became familiar with Bernadette and got into some of the legislative issues in late 21 and into 22. And I've tried my hand a little bit down there in the General Assembly with Bernadette's help. And so very, very happy to be associated with the CHD Tennessee chapter.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you. So, and Bernadette.
Yeah, well, I'm going to first sing Dr. Sibley's praises a little bit before I go on to me, because she's amazing and she's very humble. She's been dynamic, an absolute force, refusing to, you know, be bullied by the powers that shouldn't be, standing up against them. And when she says she's been treating COVID patients, I mean, during COVID, it was thousands of patients that she did not charge. She just wanted them to get better, be able to do the protocols. You know, she followed all along the FLCCC, and she's a contemporary of Dr. Peter McCullough and Pierre Corey. So we have such immense respect for her and what she does and her courage. She really models what we need everybody to do, to just stand in your truth and not be intimidated. And she sacrificed a lot to do what she does. And we're just so grateful to have her. She's one of our medical advisors for the Tennessee chapter of Children's Health Defense. So she's quite the blessing. And we have great trips from East Tennessee to the middle part of the state because, you know, Children's Health Defense is a 501c3 nonprofit. So when we're wearing that hat, we're educating only. We're just out there educating people and legislators so everybody can make informed decisions, right? So Children's Health Defense can't save really anybody, although at the national level, they're doing amazing lawsuits and they're really just stepping it up at the national level. It's fantastic. Our job as the chapter is to educate, and we do that a lot. But when we want to go legislate, we take off that 501c3 hat, Denise Sibley and I, and we go do some talking in the legislature. And that's how the ivermectin over the counter in Tennessee, the only nation and the only state in the nation where you can get it from participating pharmacists. That was thanks in part to Dr. Sibley's wonderful testimony. But me, I came to Tennessee at the very end of 2021. Like you, I left the West Coast, what we call the Left Coast, in search of freedom. But I still have, you know, 1 foot in Washington State, as well as, you know, a foot here, because I'm still on the board of Informed Choice Washington out there. Fabulous people in Washington, still fighting the good fight, friends and family still there. But the difference between the two states, though, is there you have a lot of people in elected positions who are very groupthink and not individual freedom think, and don't understand that they're throwing away this great republic with a lot of their decisions. And so no matter what great ideas and information you present to them, it's very difficult to change what they're doing. But in Tennessee, where you've got this built-in sort of understanding this great republic, the great constitution that we have, and even when people disagree with you, like our state legislature, we've got people who disagree with us on the use of vaccines and this and that, but they respect medical freedom, freedom of choice, and informed consent. And so you can get stuff done when you've got that sort of people in there. So, you know, when I got here, it was just fabulous. So I continued to do what I did in Washington. But here, things pass, bills pass, and you have amazing venues. So Children's Health Defense, since we started last April, wasn't it, Denise? It's been a year ago, April. We're coming up to our second annual event. Done some fabulous work. We've been showing up in many parts of the state at other people's wonderful functions with our tables, bringing education and awareness, because change happens at the individual level. It's one parent, one individual making a decision when they go to the store, you know, when they go to the voting booth. Every decision you make either feeds the future you want for yourself and your children, or it feeds the dystopian future that others are pushing on us. So education is so important. I'm kind of rambling on a bit here, but that's, you know, pretty much what I do. And I also, my main role, I volunteer for Children's Health Defense. I was in leadership, but I'm now moving toward more of a volunteer role with wearing another hat, my Stand for Health Freedom hat, because underneath that hat, which is a C4, I can really help with good legislation in the state.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, I was going to shout out, yes, I have my Tennessee free or legal ivermectin right here. So thank you, ladies, for your effort. That's so awesome. That to me, like, that's one of the biggest crimes of the whole COVID lockdown situation was the fact that they denied early treatment. It's like nobody needed to die at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that's just drives me crazy. So this will go down as, like, you know, probably one of the biggest crimes against humanity in history. And the fact that they so actively fought against ivermectin. Like, I've taken ivermectin. I've gotten like a little, I've never taken a test. I don't know if I've ever gotten COVID. I've gotten sick a couple times, but as of recently in the last like year, I was like, oh boy, I feel something coming on. I did a little quick little ivermectin regimen. I felt perfect in like 2 days. It was crazy. Couldn't even believe it. And so, and I drove down to Columbia to pick it up. I wanted to give you a shout out here.
Yes.
Because I didn't even realize that there were some compound pharmacies in Nashville here. And so this is Dr. Sibley's website. So if you guys go to DeniseSibleyMD.com and you live in Tennessee, there's a tab right here that says ivermectin in Tennessee. And just right here. So if you're in the Nashville area, these are all the different cities. So it's like wherever you're at in the state. But yeah, so right here, I have like three options in Nashville. I thought I had to go down to Columbia because somebody told me that I can only go to Columbia to get it. So I went to this place in Columbia to get it. So I got three different compound pharmacies here in Nashville that I can choose from. So
yeah,
there's a directory there.
And Scott, we maintain a list also on the Tennessee chapter of Children's Health Defense. Look for the ivermectin tab there. So Denise and I work on trying to keep, I think we've got three resources where we try to keep it updated. Mm-hmm. There at the top, it's the second row. There you go.
Bam. Yeah.
And there's, so there's a historic picture. So that on May 11th, 2022, Dr. Sibley, who is the physician that has the collaborative agreement with the pharmacist. This is what the law is. The pharmacists have to set up a collaborative agreement. And that's Josh Coleman from the compounding lab in Johnson City. Did I get his name wrong?
Josh Harrison.
Harrison. I don't know why I said Coleman. I apologize.
Coleman's the Baxt guy. He's the guy from Baxt or something.
Yeah, that's probably why I have a name in my head. But Josh Harrison. And so on that day, she was the doctor, he was the pharmacist making the sale, and I was the first customer. I bought the first over-the-counter ivermectin that historic day. So that was pretty cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. That is amazing. That's really game-changing. I mean, who knows how many people's lives have possibly been saved by this. I mean, it's one of those things that you'll never have the statistics on. You have no way of ever knowing. Yeah. But you know in your heart that this is a massive push towards good. Just another example of why I just, choosing to move to Tennessee was probably the best decision I ever made in my life. And it's tough. I go back and forth on this, whether or not there is a political solution or a legal solution to this. And it's I'm at the place now where it's I just want to just run out into the woods and just hide with my homesteading friends. And that's it. You know what I mean? There's a big impulse for that. There's a big Don't impulse for that. You know, it's not a matter of giving up, but it's I feel there has to be equal parts of fighting the system on the system's terms to the extent that you can, in the courts and whatnot. But at the same time, building, self-reliance, self-resiliency, community, community. That's the main thing I talk about on this show is building community and finding other people that like-minded and, build trust within that community and gain, learn skills from each other, but then also learn who has what resource in case something happens and who's able to provide what resource. And so during this time, when times are relatively calm right now, I would say it's probably going to get crazy as we get closer to election season or whatnot, but it's right now when times are calm and we got a little break in the action, building community right now and building trust within that community is the number one thing we can be doing, focusing on that. And so any opportunities for gatherings or anything like that, go find your people. That's what we got to do. And I got some great news for you guys because we have a fantastic event coming up where it's going to be our people gathering So please. So tell us about this Children's Health Defense fundraiser coming up here in Tennessee.
Do you want me to do that, Denise?
Okay.
So April 27th, Saturday after this Saturday in Homestead Hall in Columbia, Tennessee. It's at the Hardison Mill. From 5 to 9:30 is going to be a fantastic second annual fundraiser event. And the most amazing speakers here. I'm gonna pop on over and look at the program. Oh, you've got it there. Fantastic.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, so it's going to be set up with a couple of different panels that happen. There's going to be a health panel all about unadulterated food. The moderator of the health panel is Ryan Christian, from The Last American Vagabond. We've got Zen Honeycutt coming in from Moms Across America. And I think a lot of people, our people, know who Zen Honeycutt is. Are you familiar?
I don't know if I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
what the heck?
You are in for a treat. Zen Honeycutt is the woman who just almost single-handedly, this was a passion of hers, went after Roundup, the glyphosate, destroying our food. Her organization got Roundup off of some store shelves. I think Costco's not selling it. There's places you can't buy it anymore. It's more limited in what you can get. And she does things like food testing Okay. They raise money and they will test fast food. They test the food in schools. If you go to Moms Across America, I don't remember if it's .com or .org, you can find this testing, and it's appalling and it's scary what is in this food. Whoa. So, you know, once you know, then you can start taking action and making better choices. And so it's going to be fabulous to have her there. And then we've got Elizabeth Stewart. So she is at Crossing Creeks Farm in Shelbyville, and it's a fabulous farm. So if you want to learn what it's like to do, you know, regenerative farming, Elizabeth Stewart is there, as well as Kevin Krause of Liberty Trace Farms.
Yeah. He's great. I remember him last year. He stood out like quite a bit to me. I went up to him afterwards and I was like, I need to get you on my show. I love everything you're talking about. And then for some reason we haven't quite been able to connect. Well, it's my fault for not being able to connect, but he's great.
Everybody's busy. Yeah.
So yeah, it's busy. Opportunity
to talk with him and set a time for him to come on your show. And then Janelle Anderson is a homestead mentor.
That sounds like a dream job, a homestead mentor.
Yeah. So, you know, people are going to show up and get inspired and meet people who can show them hands-on what to do. And just, you know, it's going to be wonderful. And then there's also Danielle Goodrich is speaking. Mm-hmm. She worked with Dr. Sibley. Why don't you talk a little bit about, because it was Danielle Goodrich, who's from the Johnson City area, and Denise and some others who passed that really good geoengineering bill. Denise, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so Danielle Goodrich is a force to be reckoned with. She's a young mom and a grassroots activist here in Johnson City. She's instrumental in starting our local freedom group called Johnson City Freedom, which we've just renamed East Tennessee Freedom and have been part of Tennessee Stands. And she is just an incredible force to be reckoned with. She has a marketing background and can write. She writes voraciously. But we put forth a solar radiation modification, or what's known as geoengineering, stratospheric aerosol injection bill, and had lots of help from a lot of people. And it just got signed into law on April 11th. And it's now part of public chapter 709 as of yesterday.
So, oh my God, as of yesterday. Okay, so this is so amazing because
We're the first state to ban geoengineering. Now, it's not perfect, but it's a start. And you know, we have some work to do for enforcement next year, but it brings legitimate concern to what everybody sees in the sky, the elephants in the sky.
Yes.
And it, you know, the episode that happened in Dubai with the climate was just, I mean, it played right into our hand because that was cloud seeding and the unintended consequences.
Exactly.
So,
well, if you need help with enforcement, let me know. I'll be happy.
So that's really a fun thing that, but we're still working on it. We've actually had a meeting to already start work on what we do with it next year and how we really fortress it. And very exciting.
Okay, that's amazing. Well, I'd love to have a follow-up conversation with her as well, because I know that in my groups, in my circles, I have people from all over the world that are watching this very closely, asking me all kinds of questions, like, what's going on? Are they really stopping it? Like, so I would love to kind of deep dive into that, but we'll save that for another day. But congratulations, and that's amazing it's because it's like, I heard about the bill passed, but you still look up at the sky. It's like, bastards are still doing it. You know what I mean?
It's like, effective. Goes into effect July 1st.
That's great information. That's great information. Yes. Okay.
Well, then I want to go on and tell about some other great speakers we're having.
I
first want to say, though, so the bill really addresses the absolutely intentional geoengineering above the state of Tennessee.
Right.
But what we have been learning from some other experts exploring is the fact that the contrails left by jet travel actually are also chemtrails. Mm-hmm. It's not intentional by the airline from what you we can see, but the fuels do create, and there was a big unnatural or whatever, 9/11, when there were no planes in the sky for 3 days.
Yeah.
There was a huge temperature differential between night and day that's different when all the planes are in the sky. So all of that jet travel that you do see, those contrails, which are chemtrails, can leave behind. Now, that they're not the only chemtrails up there. It's not the only geoengineering. But so you will continue to see that because planes are still going to travel. So, you know, it's very complicated. And so you can't put all of that in one bill. So I think they were really wise where they started trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Yeah. Just some public acknowledgement towards the issue itself, like in official legal capacity is huge. Like just pushing the, like, it's just like, we're just moving, marching the ball up the field, you know, just little by little. And that's how this will be addressed and eventually eradicated. All of these issues, like, it's tough to get sweeping victories because of the power and corruption that we're up against. But, you know, every little inch we can take back is just amazing. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then, another group of two speakers from Children's Health Defense, we've got Rolf Hazelhurst. Now, Rolf is an attorney. I forget how many years ago, his son was severely injured by vaccines. Mm-hmm. And he was a district attorney in the state of Tennessee. So he's got that legal background. And now he now works for Children's Health Defense. He's an attorney for Children's Health Defense. But what happened was his son developed severe autism from his childhood vaccines. And he was part of this group of children. It was around 5,000 or more children that were put together in one big group called the Omnibus Group before Health and Human Services. And they took five cases they were going to make be a test cases. And if they made it through this and if it was ruled that these children's vaccines caused the autism, then the National Compensation Program was going to cover autism injury from vaccines.
Whoa.
Well, yeah, whoa. But, and I don't have all the details at the top of my head, but what happened was it was discovered that the Department of Justice intentionally put forward testimony of a doctor who had already changed his opinion. Mm-hmm. And he now believed that some children in certain circumstances, the effect of the vaccines would lead to autism. But they intentionally did not bring this doctor in to give his current opinion. They gave another opinion they shouldn't have. And it was complete fraud. And so now Rolf Hazelhurst has filed a lawsuit against Health and Human Services and the Department of Justice for their fraud.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It was recently filed. Do you have any more information there, Denise, about that?
No, I just know that it's, you know, it's just an incredible case. He's been working on this so hard for so long, and just finding this fraud is just a huge breakthrough. So we're so happy that, you know, this might be what breaks the fraud over autism and vaccines.
Oh, yeah. My God, that would just be so, again, monumental. Like it's just like, again, in a court of law setting, like, you know, with full discovery, with everything, everybody's chips on the table. You know, that's one of the things that's so difficult with prosecuting or even creating any sort of case, especially the vaccine court. Like, you don't get discovery, you know, you're not able to see their side of the table. You're not able to see what cards they're holding. And so anytime we can break through and actually have established some precedent towards that, like something that we all can see, like, just if you're looking statistically, if you're looking at just society in general, you know, you just open your eyes. It's like the chemtrail thing. Just open your eyes and take a look. Like, there's some correlation, you know what I'm saying? And I would argue causation. Like, we have a significant amount of evidence to suggest that, particularly when it comes to vaccines, autism, autoimmune conditions across the board. No question about it. And so if we can and it's so crazy. And that's so amazing that, oh, they messed up. They committed fraud, and now you're going to pay for it in probably the worst way to your side of the argument possible. So that's amazing. Well, I mean, oh my God, I know who I'm going. Yeah. Right. I'm talking to Rolf.
Yeah. 27th. Yeah.
Rolf, you and I have much to discuss.
Yeah. And then another person you're going to want to talk to is Amy Miller of Children's Health Defense. She's the marketing director of a new initiative called, now get this, Reform Pharma. Oh, wow. So Reform Pharma is going after the systemic corruption of the oversight agencies of the, like, the American Academy of Pediatrics, you know, all the medical associations, the media, everyone that sort of, for lack of a better term right here off the top of my head, is in cahoots that work together. And it's all about money. It's all about power. It's all about covering each other, but exposing the fraud, exposing the corruption, so we can stop it. You got to shine the spotlight on it. They're going to be doing lawsuits, more lawsuits to follow. You know, and it all starts though with exposing what they're doing and then creating a system to replace the existing corrupt system, because it's so corrupt. It's just, it's dysfunctional, absolutely dysfunctional at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that's what RFK talks about all the time, is like, you know, agency capture, you know, whether we're talking EPA, particularly any sort of health. Yeah, exactly. The health agencies, CDC, you know, NIH, all these companies, like they're like, they, I saw someone's, I can't even remember what it was, but they were talking about how, you know, all the patents that the CDC, like all the vaccine patents that the CDC gets money for, like they, it's like a revenue source for them for applying vaccine. And so it's like, this says like, they're not a regulatory agency. They're a vaccine company.
Yeah.
They're a vaccine company. They profit off of the distribution of vaccine. So it's just like, you know, I mean, not to mention, I mean, the backhanded deals and the revolving doors and just every aspect that just, you know, puts us as the citizens who they're meant to protect. We're the ones cut out of the deal, basically. And it's all at our expense. And it's just like, And so I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's like,
I absolutely love it. And then we've got two MDs. We've got Dr. Denise Sibley will be there speaking. Yay. And then Dr. Theron Hutton will be there as well. Another MD who, you know, a freedom doctor. And it, you know, it's always great to have those freedom doctors there to talk about what they've done and what they're going to do and how they stand brave. They're just such great role models. If every doctor stood up and spoke their conscience and did what they thought was right for their patients, we wouldn't be in this mess, you know? Just so very grateful for them joining this amazing event we're having. Again, it's April 27th. I got a couple more people to announce here. Brad Miller. Brad Miller retired from the military. Or is it retired? Did he step down? Now, there's a particular term I'm supposed to be using, and I apologize, Brad, if I'm using the wrong one. He left.
Yeah.
But not, he left because of the COVID shot and because of the ethical concerns of what they were doing, and he refused to, you know, command others to get the shot. He wouldn't get the shot. So he'll be there telling his story. I think retired is the wrong word, because he left before he could get a pension.
Discharge.
Yeah. He left. Again, I apologize for not having the right term for what
discharged.
Just because he couldn't do it, but he gave up what pension that he would have been able to get had he stayed in and all the other benefits. So, again, and then he's got this accountability resolution that is making a huge statement, and people in the military now and those who have left are signing on, and it's really a pledge to bring moral and ethics and informed consent back to the military, because they've been so harmed, not just by the COVID shot, but by so many vaccines over the years, because they're given experimental vaccines. Why you'd want to experiment against the men and women who are there to defend you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's just a well-known thing. Like, there's it's startling. I mean, I'd argue too that this is just another attack vector that our military is against from the inside. Like, just all the subversion. You know, it's a very deliberate and obvious thing that's happening, right?
Yeah,
across the board, but ideological subversion from the inside out, and you know, I'm very anti-war across the board, but it's like, you know, you can see blatantly on its face, like what's going on with that. It's just like, It's gross. And so I feel horrible. I feel so bad for all of the soldiers who felt forced into that position of like, you know, giving up careers. You know, I know many of them, I can't even now see, I was in a similar position where I was working in I was a counselor out in Oregon, drug and alcohol counselor. And I chose, and they mandated the shots, and I chose to force them to fire me over it. You know, but I also know several people in my circle, but I know lots of soldiers, like lots of people who are in careers that don't see a way out, where felt compelled to actually succumb and take the shot. And I just can't even imagine what that would be like, having to live with that. You know what I mean? Like making that sacrifice. And I've heard so many stories, and I've heard horrible outcomes in a lot of these situations. You know, we've all heard the horror stories of it, but it's like, either way, it's a horrible, horrible thing to be in. And, you know, having lived through that myself, and like, you know, people like Brad, like what happened with my life. And this is just something that I try to speak to everybody. It's like, you know, again, whatever's coming, whatever's about to happen, you know, you may be forced to make a hard choice. You know, there may be a hard choice that comes, and it's going to be very scary. There's going to be immediate consequences to some of those choices. But the most important thing is just stay rooted in your principles. Stay rooted in your convictions. The most important thing is to not deviate from what you know is right, even if there's consequences in the immediate short term, because it will pay off in the long run in many, many different ways. Like, so much, you will be delivered to where you're supposed to be no matter what. And so just be strong. And again, that's the big part of community, you know, creating community and getting involved in community, and making sure that, you know, if we stick together, there's nothing we all can't like ride out together. So, but just stick to your principles no matter what going forward. And just like Brad, see now Brad, he left the military. Yeah, scary. But now he's doing all kinds of amazing things. You know, this is what he was meant to do. Like, and like for me, this is what I was meant to do. I was meant to go to Tennessee and do all these things I'm doing. I wasn't meant to be stuck in an office all vaccinated in Oregon. That's not what I was meant to do.
Yeah. So glad. Yeah. And just, you know, we hope that we can, by our choices, inspire others to follow, because the people who want to take over us, they thrive on money. And if we choose lifestyles and careers and direction that feeds the world we want to be and not the world they want us to live in, there's tremendous power in that. Just quit feeding the monster. But I want, with our program, there's one last speaker. What it would not be a Tennessee chapter event without Catherine Austin Fitz, of course. Her guidance on financial matters and what we can do as individuals to help protect ourselves, as well as she's helping at the state level and beyond, to really help us get some sovereignty with our financial matters, to help us get away from that central bank digital currency. So she is fantastic. And so she's going to be giving her inspirational speech. She'll be there for you to individuals to talk to. I also want to let you know that there's going to be some performers. Michelle Nicole Prentice is a beautiful singer. She sang last year, if you recall. Lovely music. And then Sean Galloway and Doug Holmquist. So Sean sings the song Hands Off Our Children. And the theme of this event is Hands Off Our Children. It's a beautiful song. And we have t-shirts that have a quote from the song. It's Hands Off Our Children, Hands Off Their Minds, Hands Off Their Bodies.
Amazing. I got to give a big shout out to Michelle and her husband, Mark. They're like kind of like my surrogate, like, parents, family out here in Tennessee. Like, they literally live like 2 minutes from where I live right here, like right down the road. They started the Make Americans Free Again group that meets, you know, it's under Dr. Pam Popper. She's very, again, she just emphasizes in-person meetups. That's like her thing. It's just like in-person meetups. And so ever since I moved to Tennessee, I got plugged in with them pretty quickly, and they do meetups every other week now. So if you guys are in the Tennessee, Middle Tennessee area, reach out to me and you guys can come hang out. You know, it's cool. Like, I'm always inviting people, but I'm just saying, like, oh my gosh, it's been so life-changing getting to know them, and just like their warmth of opening up their home to organizing these meetups, like Michelle. And she's like one of the best singers in the world. Like, I seriously get choked up like every time I hear her sing. But just the most amazing people in the world. And actually, I'm going to her house tomorrow to do some handyman work. So that's so funny. Yeah, but it's
cool.
Yeah. So I just want to give a big shout out to them, you know, and just like, the, if nothing else, like, this whole event, like hearing her sing, it's worth the cost of admission right there. So there you go.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, I kind of got into this whole movement in about 2015. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any other movement where people become instant family.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. I meet people, mm-hmm. I talk to them for 1 minute, and because we have connected, this is so fundamental to life, liberty, our children's future, you know, our faith, mm-hmm. that, I mean, I'm hugging somebody after knowing them 2 minutes and saying, I love you. Right.
Yeah.
And when you meet people, there's this bond that is just like no other. And this is how community should be. And so it's really amazing. So we do encourage people to get together in person. Now, the Tennessee chapter of Children's Health Defense, there's a very strong group in Middle Tennessee that meets every month. It's the Middle Tennessee Meetup. But we're really hoping that throughout the state that people that are with the chapter that are just volunteer or sign up, that they will create their own meetups. And, you know, if somebody is listening or they attend this big second annual event on April 27th in Columbia, that, you know, we can help guide them into setting Perfect. Their own local meetups. And we do have a list of names because there were three events. And Denise, I'm going to let you talk about, because I've been talking too much here. There are four events. There were four right. events where the bus, well, we're supposed to call it an RV now, from Children's Health Defense, went around collecting vaccine injury story, hospital protocol injury stories, and unvaccinated stories. So go ahead, Denise.
Yes, we had a wonderful four stop. It started in, Johnson, were we the first one?
Chattanooga, I think, was the
Chattanooga,
first
one. Chattanooga, and then Johnson City, and then Knoxville, and then ended up in Jackson, Tennessee. And I know I went to the Knoxville and the Johnson City one, and just an incredible time of meeting. We had tabling in our event, and I think most of the other ones did too. But just to meet, we were blown away with how many people came and just the stories that were told on the bus. People that wanted to be heard, people that wanted to be recognized, and that, you know, what happened to them was real. And that somebody was listening. And that's one of the things that we really want to do, is to legitimize folks that have been marginalized and told that they're crazy, there's nothing wrong with them. And to also bring to light what really happened during COVID. So we had medical professionals as well as people who were affected by the vaccine or hospital protocols give their stories. And it was just our day here in Johnson City was an incredible day. We just, like you said, Bernadette, you just meet people and you immediately hug them, and, you know, you're exchanging texts and they're your friend forever. And I think the bus events raised a lot of awareness about what was obvious, again, legitimizing the elephant in the room. Everybody knows that vaccines are causing injury, and that COVID was just a disaster. And so legitimizing that was part of what the bus or the RV accomplished. And we gave out a lot of education material and provided education as well.
So. Yeah, and we have posted on our website, on news, you can look for where it's mm-hmm. posted on there, the video of the medical professionals. Denise rounded up eight yeah. medical professionals, ranging from, you know, it was pediatrician, OBGYN. Mm-hmm. What other credentials did they have?
We had cardiologists, pathologists. Keeps rolling down. We had a family practice, functional medicine. We had a naturopathic doctor. We had a neurologist. So I tried to cover the gamut of specialties, and these were folks who, you know, many of them, I'd say, were really part of the mainstream allopathic physicians who eyes were open during COVID. And, you know, now we're really standing for truth, and it was just refreshing to have them actually be brave enough to get up and talk in front of an auditorium and to be videoed. We also had a pulmonologist. So it was just an incredibly educational event for our audience. And awesome. I encourage everybody to look at that video. It's a long one.
Yeah. Check it out. I mean, I wish I would have known about that. I'd love to come hang out with you guys. Dang.
Next time.
And if I may, I'd like to talk about like three projects that the Tennessee Chapter of Children's Health Defense are working toward, working on. Totally. At this
yeah, I was
going
to ask about that because, like, you know, we're doing a big fundraiser. Like, what's your guys' vision? What are we yeah. working toward? So, yeah, that's great.
Well, one of the big visions is this. Have you ever heard of the documentary film or the book, the method called Spellers?
Yeah, that's I've heard Susie Olson-Corgan talking about mm-hmm. that. Yeah, she's a friend. Yeah, definitely.
So Spellers is for somebody who is a nonverbal mm-hmm. individual, usually on the spectrum. What has been discovered is that it's not that they don't lack intelligence. They lack the ability to have their thoughts and desire to express something come out through the finer motor skills, but there's nothing wrong with their large motor skills. And so this method begins with taking somebody who's nonverbal and they have like an alphabet board. And just by, you know, moving their arms, they can point to letters and they can spell. And it's when you see like the documentary film Spellers, it's mm-hmm. going to have you laughing and in tears. It's so amazing. And there's a book called Underestimated by J.B. Handley and his son. What's J.B.'s son's name? Mm-hmm. It's the book's on the shelf behind me here somewhere, yeah. But his son wrote it as well mm-hmm. together about his experience. And this boy went from, them thinking he had about a sixth grade intelligence level when he did the Speller program. Within a year, he's graduating high school. Mm-hmm. And now
Jameson.
Thank you. And so this program, the Speller's program, is so life-changing for families and the individual who finally can express themselves. And it takes them through like large motor skills, and then it finally refines it down. And some of them actually then learn to be able to type, to be able to really communicate. It's just so brilliant. So what the Tennessee chapter wants to do is raise enough money to fund somebody to go to Speller School to become a trainer in the state of Tennessee. So, you know, costs a certain amount of money. We want to send somebody, and there, I believe we already have a couple of people that would love to go do this, to bring this life-changing skill to nonverbal individuals in the state. And so that's one of the things that we're aiming at. The other thing is this program just getting off the ground called Mentor Moms. And this will be, you know, a sense of community where if you're a new mom, and, you know, you want to get together kind of the old fashioned way, like it used to be. You get together with your great aunt and grandma and mm-hmm. your mom and cousins. And the moms would share the wisdom of what they knew about health and such. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in today's modern life, it's our families are split apart and we don't always have that sense of community. But this Mentor Moms is going to create a platform for that to occur, as well as have presentational events happen during this. So that needs some funding to get that off the ground.
That's awesome. I was going to say real quick, like one of the things, and when you heard me talk at the beginning about this anti-vaccination league that we were trying to bring back to life.
Yeah.
So we're like some of the photos we've been looking at, like if you look at this photo, if you notice, it's mostly women. There's like a few guys in the back row there, but it's mostly the mama bears. Again, the mama bears showing up. And so it's like, that's from my experience. It's like, that's what I've always found so funny is that, like, you know, like all the political class, like calls like the anti-vaccination movement, like this domestic terrorist, you know, like whatever nonsense they try to label us as. But it's like, really, it's like a bunch of moms. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're so off base with it. And so it's like, you know, don't mess with the mama bears for sure. But at the same time, like the fact that you're creating that space then to help encourage that is pretty amazing. So that's great.
Yeah, it is. And we're very excited about that. That's Jessica Bell came up with that. She's one of the leaders of the chapter. She's pretty amazing. And I do want to get a shout out to Jessica Bell.
Shout out to Jessica.
Yeah, and Patrice Steinhardt, because
shout out to Patrice. Yeah.
But they do an amazing job there in Middle Tennessee, and Patrice is like our amazing bookkeeper, and she does all those fiddly bits that a nonprofit needs to keep running, and she's brilliant at it. So we're so grateful for all that she does and all that they're doing to bring this April 27th event to fruition. They've been working so hard to bring it there. I want to say real quick that Emmy Vaccination League. So before I became an advocate, I was a historical mystery writer. And my books are set about the turn of the last century, about the time of Tesla and Edison. And so I love to do historical research. And, you know, so I'm very familiar with the Anti-Vaccination League.
Wow.
Yeah. I tell you what, go to like library resources where you can look at the archives of old magazines and old newspapers and old books. And even Google Books has undertaken to scan every single book on the planet into digital form. And when you look at, especially the products from the late 1800s, early 1900s, these were dangerous products. They were cuddly.
You know, that's so funny. We discovered those and we've been going through them. And it's so fascinating. We did an Unjected show last night. We did a deep dive into it and we were going through just some of these newsletters that they put out back then. And it's so crazy how they are saying the exact same stuff we're saying today.
Exactly. I know.
But their rhetoric was a lot more harsh. Like they were even more vicious with it. I'm like, we need to kind of bring that. Like I don't know if you know this, but this was on just one of their little right here. This little snippet out of a newspaper. It says, "Liberty cannot be given; it must be taken." Mm. To me, that's like right up there with like, "Give me liberty or give me death." Like that's one of the most powerful sayings I've ever heard. And we tried to research like who said that. The only attributions we can find is to the Anti-Vaccination Society. This was like their motto. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, so we've adopted, this is our motto now. Like, liberty cannot be given, it must be taken. And so I'm like, oh, I'm just like so like fired up this last week over this. So anyway, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And then a third highlight of our work, besides all the educational work that we hope to undertake and inspire people with, is to do some testing. So, you know, scientific testing of the air, the water, the soil in different areas to really see what's out there, do some measuring. Because once you are able to show, hey, here's these toxins, and then that can lead to education. And then individuals such as me with Stand for Health Freedom, I can then maybe put forward bills, and Denise Sibley can put forward bills and maybe really start making a change in this state with how things are done and get bad policy stopped.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yes,
because we do have, water from Clarksville, Tennessee, that had strontium and cadmium and sulfur and aluminum. It had barium, strontium, aluminum, sulfur, and this was from 2017 from Clarksville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So how did these things get there? They're not naturally occurring. Unbound aluminum does not occur.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do more of that and some more up-to-date things.
Definitely. And then one of the first things I noticed when I moved here is that Tennessee's very proud of their water fluoridation. They're very happy. They're like, where is it? There's some, look at this. Got this whole flyer brochure. They're like, just like, look at how amazing our fluoride in the water is. It's just like, okay, well,
you know, the danger of, you know, the government never does things really well. They start off with really good intentions.
Yeah.
And then they grow so big, they become just an entity that supports themselves and they stop serving the people. And they really don't like to learn new information and change course, usually because somebody's already got a vested interest in doing it the way they were doing it. And so it can be a huge ship to turn around. That's why minimal government is best, because it's really difficult to get the government to stop doing something bad. And we got to figure out, and this is something I'd like to really deal with, is we got to find the right laws and policies so that our government agencies and our departments cannot lie. They can't market things without having solid science behind it, right? Wouldn't that be lovely if the Tennessee Department of Health was not able to say these vaccines are safe and effective, or they're safe during pregnancy? Well, Pfizer can't say it. Why is the Department of Health saying it? So there's a lot of work to do. But so, you know, we just really hope people will show up for the April 27th event. And we know it's a long way for some folks to go in this long, skinny state. It's about 5 hours for Denise Sibley and I. But just meet the community and then bring it on back home. And, you know, we really want to grow the chapter in all parts of the state so that, you know, you can take on issues locally and then we can support you with information. We get supported from the national who provides, they've got scientists and attorneys and medical experts at the national level. And then here we've got Dr. Sibley at the local level and some other, we've got, what do we have? Like a dozen doctors and nurses and chiropractors that are members.
More than that, really. Yeah. Because we all bounded together really early in 2020 because we just needed to share ideas and figure out how to treat these people. And it was amazing, you know, that we did get a group together, a solid group. And we've gained a few more. So,
yeah,
that's amazing. Good. That's amazing. Wow. Well, I'm very impressed with all the work that you all are doing. Like, I'm just really excited. I'll be there. I guess I was asked to do some videography, like kind of behind the scenes type stuff.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'll be helping out there that day. So I'll definitely be there. I'll definitely see you all there. And hopefully all of you listening and watching, hopefully I'll see you there as well. So again, that's April 27th, Columbia, Tennessee. There's links in the episode description where you guys can go get tickets and learn more about the event. Definitely hope to see you all there. So let's just wrap it up here. Tell us how we can follow and support your work further. Like Bernadette, for example, I know you also do work for Stand for Health Freedom. Like, please let us know how we can follow your work, stay in touch with you, and make sure that the people who are how they can access all the things you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Yeah. So besides the Tennessee chapter, which is tn.childrenshealthevents.org, sign up for free to hear from them. I do encourage viewers to go to standforhealthfreedom.com, mm-hmm. sign up for free there, because of that organization, which is a C4, we send out those action alerts for bills, for legislation at the state level. So you know when to take action and we educate you and tell you, you know, who to contact and when. So please sign up for that. Those are the two main things that I work on now is Children's Health Events and Stand for Health Freedom. Denise?
I have a website, denisesibleymd.com, and I do... I post any videos that I do a running up medical update at our local Johnson City Freedom. I also post other interviews that I've been involved with and interviews that I've made myself about treatment. So I keep that up. We also have tnfreedomdoctors.org, which is another site that I try to keep up. And,
I know about this. Ooh, look at this. That's some good stuff right here.
So, you know, it has other information. It definitely has ivermectin on it. And so those are the two main sites that I keep up. So that's, our CHD Tennessee.
There you go.
Children's Health Defense. Yeah.
Yep. tn.childrenshealthdefense.org. That's it. That's it. And then obviously there's all the social medias and stuff. And so, all right, guys. Well, I hope you share this episode, clip the episode. If there's something that stood out to you, share it with your friends. Pretty soon here, you could use my little thing I was showing you in the very beginning to clip out this episode. So there you go. It's very exciting stuff. So, all right, everybody. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. Really appreciate it. Great conversation. Awesome information. I have lots to follow up on. I got notes that I wrote down, so I'm very excited. And this event for me, it's going to be a great networking thing. I'm going to be like, okay, so this is, I'm very much looking forward to it. So, all right. Well, we see you all in Columbia here in a few weeks. Until next time, everybody. I'll catch you next week. We got the great DJ Mike Winner from the Alpha Vedic podcast coming on next week, guys. So I will see you all then.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks.